All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities here at Texas Motor Speedway after today's AAA Texas 500. We are joined by Tony Stewart, one of the co-owners of Stewart Haas Racing, and today's winning team, the number 4 Mobile 1 Ford with Kevin Harvick behind the wheel. We will open it up to questions for Tony. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the front with Bob.
Bob Pockrass, ESPN. What were you thinking at the start of overtime after Kevin had dominated that race for so much and there was a chance it could have slipped through his hands?
Well, I think it was more worked up over the fact that, you know, he lost the lead there on the restart before that. So, you know, but as you sit there and watch, and when you can run his, you know, Ryan's pace and be that close to him, you know that if he gets by in clean air, he's a lot faster car. So, you know, when he got the lead back, it was, at that point, he'd been through two restarts where he restarted on the bottom and almost lost the lead on the first one, then lost the lead on the second one. So he knew he was going to pick the outside lane at that point and would probably be all right. But, you know, he hadn't restarted out there the whole day. So, you know, you never know for sure what's going to happen. But at least at that point, you give yourself a better opportunity knowing how, you know, Ryan had the outside figured out on that restart before.
Additional questions? We'll go to AJ. Right here. There's one coming behind you, AJ.
Hey, Tony. After what happened today with Jimmy's team, them getting a penalty they shouldn't have gotten, can you talk about the communication, if there's any issues when those things arise, and if you'd like to see a better system in place where you can talk to officials?
What was the penalty?
We got NASCAR thought he failed inspection 3 times. It was only twice, and that wasn't communicated.
I'm still not really aware of it. I mean, I came in this morning, so.
He got sent to the rear at the start of the race for failing tech 3 times. So if he didn't fail tech 3 times, he won't fail twice.
I don't know. I still don't understand why we have to worry about failing 3 times. It's like you bring your car, you roll it through tech, you either pass or you don't. I don't know why we screw around and jack around with 1, 2, 3 times, and it's ridiculous to me. I mean, it's the only series in the world where you get to go through tech 3 times and fail twice and they still let you go through a third time. It's like, we got to figure it out. It's got to make it simpler than this. It shouldn't be this difficult. So I half the time you don't even know what the penalty's supposed to be, and I'm a car owner and I don't know what the penalty's supposed to be. So as a fan, I don't know how the fans can keep up with it either. But it's, you know, the first, if you start rolling cars through 1 time and if they don't pass, they go to the back, I bet you there'd be a lot less cars fail tech the next week. But who knows? So I'm with you. I think it needs to be a less complicated way of doing it for sure.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box for 2 questions.
Yeah, Wolfgang Wunzer from Germany Rennsport Press Agency. Tony, just a personal question for you to find out what's the role with your team. Are you also involved in technical decisions? Are you attending briefings and give your own experience concerning car preparation for Kevin's car?
Oh, God, no. I don't want to go to any briefings. I just want to show up at the races and go to the shop and hang out with the guys. So that's part of – Wolfgang, that's what retirement's for. You don't have to go to meetings. So I go to enough damn meetings as it is. So I try to limit how many I have to go to. But definitely the post-race meetings on Monday or Tuesday when they happen, you know, it doesn't do me any good because I'm not making any of those decisions on that car, obviously. And you know, ironically enough, I mean, somebody was asking me about certain aspects of the setup this morning, and it's just amazing how, you know, we're almost at the end of 2 years being outside of a cup car from driving, and how much has changed in 2 years of how we set these cars up and what we do to make them go fast. It's totally different than when I drove. So for me to sit in those meetings, you know, they might as well be speaking Spanish. I really don't understand what they're talking about because so much has changed in such a short amount of time, and that's just technology in the sport. You know, the technology changes weekly, so you can imagine 2 years down the road how far you know, the technology and setups and you know, how they set these cars up has changed and evolved in 2 years.
We're going to stay in the press box for another question.
No habla español.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
On a happier note, can you talk a little bit about Donnie winning his 10th championship and what that says about him and what it says about your organization?
I'm I'm so proud of him. I mean, it was nice last night to finish the season with a win. The only sad part about winning the race here tonight is that I was actually going to try to get out of here and try to fly back to Charlotte to get to at least his portion of the banquet tonight. And I'm not sure if I'm going to make it or not, but I'm going to do everything in my power to be there, because I think a 10th championship is really special. And you know, it's you know, this is an era in sprint car racing where everybody has the same equipment. It's just a matter of the driver and crew chief and those two crew guys on the car that make the difference. And you know, for him to have been the dominant driver like he's been these last, you know, 10, 12 years, it's impressive to see. And you know, couldn't be more proud of him.
Do we have any additional questions for Tony? We'll go to Dustin up here in the front.
A couple questions. Tony, first of all, from a racer's point of view, the move Kevin made, the winning move, I know you weren't on this track with how challenging it was, but can you kind of give a perspective or sense of what he had to go through to make that type of a move?
On the restart lane? You know, I think, you know, the restarts that he had led all day, I mean, every time he took off on the bottom, it worked out all right. But, you know, I think as the race went on, that second groove got better and better. And, you know, it's like he said, and, you know, we could see it, obviously. I mean, about the start-finish line, that side draft started really playing an effect. And, you know, if you didn't clear that outside car by the time you got there, that car was even with you or even ahead of you by the time you got to turn one because of the side draft. So, you know, it's I'm sure there's a little apprehension from his standpoint of not restarting in that lane all day and not really knowing exactly what to expect. But, you know, the second restart before that, you know, Ryan almost cleared him, and then the next restart he does clear him. So, I mean, you got to, at that point, you know, realize that lane's got a lot of potential. And, you know, even if you don't get the lead off of it, you at least got to try that lane. You know, you can't give Ryan Blaney that many opportunities to perfect that restart on the outside like that. So, you know, it was, you know, realistically, it's kind of a no-brainer decision that you just have to make that decision to change whether you're comfortable with it or not.
And great to celebrate the win, no doubt, but you've got three other cars. How do you look at their positioning for next week? And you know, just a couple weeks ago, you guys were celebrating having all four cars in the round of eight. At this point, you'd only have one make it to Miami. How do you kind of look at things at this point going into Phoenix?
Well, I think even before the first playoff race started, I mean, you realized that, you know, you had the big three that were most likely going to be the first three in that chase. And, you know, that there was going to be one spot open when it came to get to that final round of four. So, you know, just the fact that we were able to get all four of them to this far is an accomplishment and a huge year for our company. So couldn't be more proud of everybody. But the reality is we knew that, you know, everybody knew when they started the playoffs that those first three spots were already, for the most part, taken unless they had a natural disaster happen. So I guess from our standpoint now, I mean, we got one in. There's one more race left, and we got one more opportunity to get one more of those three in. So, but no matter what, it's, you know, it's been a record-breaking year for our company in so many ways. I mean, there's so many different records that have been broken that, you know, it's, you know, if Kevin's the only one that ends up in there, it's still been a great season. And, you know, but I still feel like that we've got three really good race cars and race car drivers and crew chiefs that do have an opportunity still to pull something out at Phoenix next week and get locked in. So, you know, be nice to have 50% of that equation again going into the final four.
We're going to come to Mark over here on the left next to me, Tony.
I'm Mark Garrow, PRN. Sort of a follow-up to that question. With Kevin in and as strong as that team has been almost everywhere all season long, would you pencil him in, no matter who's in the final four, the favorite going into Homestead?
You know, I don't even know how you have a favorite. There's just, when you think of the reality of what Homestead is, I mean, there's just, you're loading all your chips into one race, so you never know what can happen. I mean, there's still 40 cars in the race. There's four of them racing for a championship. There's 36 guys that can make a mistake and change the outcome of the event. So, you know, I don't know that anybody is a favorite really when you get to that final race. There's just so much that can happen. you know, but I like the fact that we got Kevin Harvick there. I mean, that's a guy that I don't care who he's up against. I mean, that's the guy that you kind of want with the ball in the bottom of the ninth. So, and I feel like we got three other guys that, you know, may not be exactly that guy, but they're really close, and they've closed that gap from last year to this year. So, you know, I'm comfortable with who we've got in so far, and I feel like if we can get one of those other three in, that they got just as good a shot, you know, going into Homestead as Kevin does.
Do you have anything final for Tony? Go in the back to Janine.
Janine Clough, Skirts and Scuffs. Would you elaborate a little bit on what bringing Eric in has meant to the team and what you've seen, what kind of growth you've seen in him since he's joined your team?
Well, he definitely doesn't fit the typical SHR driver mold. Normally you got to have a little bit of an attitude and be stubborn and hard-headed, but, you know, he comes in and he's the one that's always calm and excited, and you know, I think he's just been a really good fit, you know, with those three guys. Even though his personality isn't the same as the other three, we've seen how it's kind of gelled all four of those teams together just by bringing him in the organization. So, you know, I said from day one when we hired him, and everybody, I laugh because it makes me feel really good when people said I was crazy and couldn't understand why I hired Eric Amarola, and I said, you just have to be patient, because I promise you he can run up front and win races. And, you know, we as a company took him out of two opportunities to win with loose wheels and stuff earlier this year. So, you know, he's been in position to run for wins four or five times and had miscellaneous things happen, whether it was a speeding penalty or loose wheel or whatever, that were getting wrecked on the last lap that took him out of a chance to win the race. So, but he's just one of those guys that he's a company guy, and you know, he came in with the right attitude. He's like, what can I do to help? And he's just kind of been like a sponge in an open book of, you know, doing whatever it takes to learn the system, to be a good teammate to those guys. And I think that's really, he's single-handedly kind of just pulled everybody together and, you know, really tied the four-car aspect of it together for the organization.
And we have one more up in the press box with Chris.
Yeah, ChrisKnightGetFence.com. Tony, I know you weren't here yesterday, but you guys have an opportunity to get two series championships this year with Cole making it to Homestead in the Xfinity Series run. How important was that win for Cole yesterday, not only for himself, but for the team? And do you guys like your chances for Homestead?
It was huge. I mean, you know, last year he missed it by, I think, three points or three positions on the racetrack, and then went out and dominated Homestead. So, you know, if he would have got those three spots, I mean, he would have been the champion last year. So having that opportunity, and I think it's a great spot for Cole to go there knowing how fast he was there last year. I think it'll give those guys confidence after Phoenix leading into that week, and hopefully make it a little easier from the stress standpoint. But, you know, if they're half as good as they were last year there, they have a very legitimate shot at winning that championship. So we're really proud of them. I think Cole just keeps growing and getting better. I mean, it's a process. I mean, and you never know how long it's going to take somebody to get to their full potential. And I don't even think he's reached his full potential yet. But you know, we see things in him that you know, show that growth and that improvement. And you know, yesterday was a good example of it. And you know, now that we've got him in that position, you know, we'll see what happens when we get there. But like I said, if he runs as good as he did last year, I think we got a really good shot.
All right, Tony. Well, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win tonight.
Thank you.